Town of Bruton, regular meeting for September 12, 2011 will come to order. Please turn off our sirens, electronic devices. Ms. Bourgeois, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
Let the allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call roll, please.
Councilmember O'Lean?
Here.
Councilmember Bourgeois?
Here.
Councilmember Abear?
Here.
Councilmember Andre?
Here.
Councilmember Churchill?
Present.
Attorney Costa?
Here.
Mayor Newell?
Here. At this time, I'd like to ask the council to consider amending the agenda to take up item 10B right now. Moved by Ms. Bourgeois, second, Mr. Andre, all those opposed, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. At this time, I'd like to call on Mr. Ed Johnson, who is the head man at Walmart, to, we're here to present a certificate of appreciation to Ms. Cynthia Sellers. And I'd like to ask Mr. Johnson to step up to the microphone and tell us the story of why we're here, if you don't mind. A lot of us are familiar with Ed because he was here, what, a month or two ago talking about the improvement program.
Good afternoon, everyone. I kind of want to paint a picture here to kind of bring everybody to fold what happened on a Sunday afternoon. While everybody was at church enjoying their family, Cynthia had the privilege of being at work. So while she was at work, I got the phone call and she told me that she had someone in the store that was suspicious, that could perhaps be a runaway child. And of course, in any circumstance like that, you want to make absolutely sure that you got the right person. On this particular Sunday, she started calling me mid-morning and said, "I got this funny feeling." And I said, "Cynthia, if you're not 99.999, leave it alone." And she said, "Okay, I'm gonna leave it alone for a minute." And then probably 15, 20 minutes later, she called me again. She said, "Ed, I'm telling you, it's got a young lady in the store. She's walking around in the store. I looked at the missing children poster, and she looks just like this person on the poster." I said, "Again, Cynthia, are you 99.99 sure? Otherwise, we're not gonna touch it." She said, "Okay, I'm gonna check again, Ed." So she went back and she kind of really just started kind of eyeballing the young lady in the store with another male gentleman that was with her. And everything that they did throughout the morning looked suspicious, it looked suspect. Wanted to get on Wi-Fi, just a lot of things that, you know, from a maturity standpoint, you start to take a notice. So she called me again and she said, "Look, I looked at the board. Actually, the board that we have up is not the current, but I went online. I looked online and I do feel like I'm 99.99 sure that this is a person that's on this board." So we told her to go ahead and follow the process. She, of course, called the home office, called authorities, and alerted them of what was going on within the store. And we're talking about a 16-year-old sophomore that was running around in the store with a probably 22, 23-year-old gentleman. So at that point, Cynthia called the local authorities. She let them know what was going on. They identified the poster, they identified the young lady, and it was indeed the person that she all along suspected. And you got to understand, not only does Cynthia represent Walmart, she represented the town of Bruton as well, because that could have been my child, it could have been your child, my grandson, or whatever. But during that point, when she did everything possible to make sure it was 100% right. But when she called the local authorities, they came in, they did the ID, and they found out that the person that was suspect was indeed the person that was missing on the poster. So to make this journey, I mean, pretty much really substantiated, is that on this particular Sunday happened to be Father's Day. And Cynthia made that phone call and talked to that mother. And that father took a plane that afternoon to come pick up that child that had been missing for quite some time. So if you can imagine from a parent standpoint, from a grandparent standpoint, that if you have someone that's missing out of your family, and all of a sudden you get this phone call and say, "Not only did I find your child, but she's safe and in the proper hands, please come pick her up." We're very, very proud of Cynthia. You know what, I asked her over and over, what made you be so persistent? And she said, "Ed, I guess it's just that motherhood in me that started to come forth. Forget about Walmart, forget about the other stuff. It's just me being a parent. And I'm looking at this young lady, could have been my daughter." So we're very proud of her. When I told the mayor about it, you know, he was just very, very pleased to see that we are very much involved in the Missing Children Network. We have posters that we put in our building every single month. We try to keep them current, and we do look at them, you know, believe it or not. It's not just something that we put on the wall. But I thought this was a good story. Cynthia, when we finished that process and that parent came and picked up that child that afternoon, then it was all well worth it to see the smile on that parent's face, to reunite with that loved one. So in Cynthia's behalf, we had an opportunity for the corporate office to get wind of it, because Cynthia's a very modest person, didn't want a whole lot of hoop to do. As a matter of fact, I left the mayor. I should have called him the next day, because he called me anytime something wrong in Walmart. Should have called him the next day. But he gave me the good too. But we had the privilege, the corporate office sent the private jet to pick Cynthia up, and I happened to tag along with the celebrity, and we went to the corporate office. And I got to tell you, Cynthia got up and told her story to approximately 300 people on a Saturday morning. And I guarantee you, both men and women, that was not a dry eye in the audience. Because she can tell the story a lot better than I can, trust me, because she's a lot more animated than I am. But by the time she finished telling that story, that was not a dry eye. And that's how important it is for us to understand the significance of what she did. So I'm very, very pleased at what she did. I know the mayor's very, very pleased. So I'm gonna turn it over to the mayor.
If you come up here, we have I don't know what certificate you got at Walmart, but this is better. I'd like to read from it. Certificate of Appreciation. The mayor and town council of town of Ruley wish to express our appreciation to Cynthia Sellers for demonstrating extraordinary citizenship by identifying a missing child and alerting authorities, resulting in the child reunion with family on Father's Day 2011. Your actions express the values which the residents of Brulee hold dearest. We sincerely appreciate what you have done for the child, the child's parents, and the Brulee community. And we appreciate it. Thank you very, very much.
I just want to thank the members of the Brulee community for giving me this award. And I just want to let you all know that our Walmart is a part of this community. And not only do we take care of our associates at Walmart, but we also try to take care of the communities here in Port Allen, Plaquemine, and Brulee. So with that being said, we're all a part of you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Now, as an extra bonus, you can stay and watch this very interesting meeting. But if you want to go, you can. You won't hurt our feelings.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you for what you've done.
Thank you.
Is that your family, I assume?
Yeah, this is my mom.
Mom?
This is my niece and goddaughter.
Okay. Glad to have you. Have you ever been to Brulee before?
No.
Well, slow down on your way out. That's all I got to tell you. Oh, yeah. Our policeman at the meeting, so go.
Thank you so much.
All right. We'll see you. All right. Back to the regular agenda. At this time, I'd like to introduce a native of our town, Mr. Edmund Jordan, who is a candidate for State Representative District 29. Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly how I followed that, man.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
That's a very emotional story, so... But I'm glad we've got folks like that within the community to help us and to take that leadership effort. As most of you already know, my name is Edmund Jordan. I am a native of Brulee. I'm a lifelong resident of Brulee in West Baton Rouge. I'm 40 years old. I'm a practicing attorney. I've been practicing for a little over 12 years now. That doesn't seem that long, but it's been a while. And a small business owner. I've owned some other businesses in addition to my private law firm. I'm running because I think that we need to be represented here in West Baton Rouge, and I think we really need a voice. It's been since approximately 1972, 74, in that timeframe, the last representative we've had from West Baton Rouge was Mr. Monday Lowe. And that's been some time ago. I think that was around the time of the Constitutional Convention. So it's been back in the 70s, back in the time since I was a kid. Since then, West Baton Rouge has been split up into different areas. And we are today, and I'll get more into that because I know the mayor wants, I'll address that for you guys in a minute. But I'm a native of the community again. I've been a part of the community. I'm involved in the chamber. Mayor and I actually sit on the education committee together as part of West Baton Rouge Chamber of Commerce. That's one thing that I'm very passionate about. I just want to give you a brief statistic. I was looking and part of what we're doing, and of course we have great schools over here, so that it's not really an issue, but it is an issue in other parts of the district. But right now in Louisiana, it takes about, we spend about $5,000 to educate a child per year. Right now in the state of Louisiana, it takes about $39.55 a day to have somebody incarcerated. That's about three times the amount. It's low, $14,000 a year to house somebody here in prison. So we need to make an investment in our community. So we can either make it on the front end or we can make it on the back end. Cost us a third less to do it on the front end than to do it on the back end, because most of you folks in prison right now don't even have a high school diploma. So education is tied to crime, it's tied to job opportunities, because when businesses are looking to move there, you know, they're looking at the educated population, can they have a workforce, can they have somewhere where the kids can go to school? So we're looking at all these issues that we're dealing with. And mostly, you know, I know Ms. Bourgeois especially knows, I come from a family of educators. My mother is one of nine kids, and seven of the nine kids were involved in, or were, or still are involved in the educational system in some capacity. Only two, one of my uncles, the oldest, one of my older uncles was in construction, working, doing a lot of road projects for the state, and the youngest is in banking. But everybody else was involved in one area or the other as far as education. So that's something that's very important to me. It's something that I'm very passionate about. I think most of you have the push cards. I'm not going to go through all that and excuse me, and read all that, but I think I'm certainly qualified for the job. This is a new district for West Baton Rouge. So what happened before, we were with Ken St. Germain and going toward Iberville and Assumption and all those areas. Well, with the new census and the redistricting, what it did was it took us into District 29. And also, as it relates to Senate districts, we're also in Senate District 2. So both of those districts are majority-minority districts. So right now, if you'll see the signs for Troy Brown, Mike Bell, Elton Aubert, and those guys, they're running on the Senate side. So that would be the representative for Brule. On the House side is House District 29, and it's Regina Barrow and I. Excuse me. So right now District 29 goes from Paul's Lane, covers all of the town of Brule. Now it goes and it covers Lukeville, but oddly enough, it does not cover by the golf course in that area. When you go on the south end of Choctaw, that's all with Addison, that's now Major Tebow's area. But if you go anything on the north side of Choctaw, going when you go there for it, deep all the way to Modern Marine and Intracoast Canal, that's part of us.
So everything in the city limits of Brule is in 29?
Everything in the city limits of Brule is 29. So goes all the way up, we cover Emily Drive, we cover Antonio, we go to Reverend Manuel, we go across the Intracoastal. We cover all of the city limits of Port Allen. We don't cover out by 415, but we continue to go and we cover Mulatta Bend and the Benedetto Lane and Benedetto, you know, over there off the river road. So we cover that. But then we go across the river and we cover where the Capitol is, Capitol Lake Road, and right by the state capitol. And it travels scenic, but it doesn't cover the east side of scenic for quite a ways. It covers the west side of the city, which is mostly Exxon. So you don't have a lot of voters in that area. And then we cover right past Evangeline, it goes up. There's a Sycamore and Lorraine Mr. Thomas, I know you, because I know you have some things, some properties maybe near that area. But it goes up that way, and it goes Hollywood, covers by Tony Seafood, Redemptorist High School, goes into the Brookstown area, but it still follows Plank North all the way to Hooper Road. When Plank crosses Harding, and, well, when it comes Harding, it turns into Hooper. So it doesn't cover Harding, which is closest to Southern University. But when you cross over, it covers Hooper Road, and it continues to go east to the Coeur River, right before Central. And it follows that along Jewel, believe it or not.
There's going to be a test on this tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. It's a very winding district, but it covers the Glen Oaks area.
Well, we had the senatorial candidates coming in. It's the same thing. It starts at Lafourche and it all ends up here.
Right. So it winds for a great deal, but it's in a nutshell, it's Glen Oaks, it's Brookstown, Zion, the area in Baton Rouge they call Zion City. Part of 72nd Street, but only a portion of it. Yeah, just because it doesn't cover all the scenic. So it does cover part of that. And then it goes back toward the Capitol. But for us, the important thing is Malata Bend all the way. It covers only Lappington Lane as it touches Highway 1. Doesn't go where there's actual houses on Lappington Lane.
So it's just a plant area.
Yeah.
Tanks.
Yeah, tanks. It doesn't cover any population on Lappington, really. So that's all back part of Major Tipo that goes with him. So, and it comes up. So pretty much all the town of Brule, all the city of Port Allen, everything in between, and that's what we have. It's Regina Barrow and I, we're the only two candidates. We have had some issues. And I don't know if this is necessarily the form. This is more of an introduction just for me to say who I am, and we can get into issues at a later date. There's the chamber's putting on a legislative debate, I think, on September 20th, and we can get more into the actual issues at that time. But I do want to thank the mayor for actually placing me on the agenda and the council for having me. I want to congratulate Mr. Kershaw. I think he's going into the parish council unopposed. And thank God for all of us being here in good health. So,
any questions for
him? Yeah, I want to ask him one. Okay. What is the split between West Baton Rouge Parish and East Baton Rouge Parish on your district?
On the district, population-wise, it's about 18,000, a little over 18,000 on the east side. It's a little bit over 12,000 on the west side population. Now, voter population, our voter numbers, And I haven't gone through all the East Baton Rouge numbers. Our numbers showed at about 8,150. I suspect, though, that numbers are going to be in the 12,000 range, give or take, a little bit.
So you're saying 2-1, basically?
No, about 60-40 is what it turns out to be. Give or take a few percentage points. But I will say this, traditionally, that district has had less than 33% turnout. So I don't expect more than that. The last election, only 9,000 folks turned out in that district. So you're talking about a district of 25,000 people, maybe, you know, and you got 9,000 turning out. The way that I think the numbers will turn out, I think it's going to be very favorable for us, because usually on this side of the river, we have high, especially south of the intercoastal, we have high voter turnout anyway. And because of a contested election, mayoral election in Port Allen, and you got a contested sheriff's race, I think our population and our voter turnout is still going to be very high.
No president, no governor.
No, that's right.
No governor, right?
No, not really. I mean, he's got...
Oh, wait a minute. There's a guy from Brule running for governor. Hold on now.
But that's
we got a guy from Brule to walk for him. Who is he?
Oh, please, you didn't read the paper.
No, I didn't.
We can't go into
it. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm
kidding. You be kidding me?
No, we're not kidding.
I think the numbers, as long as we have high voter turnout, I think...
We usually do.
Yeah, I'm about to say, if we just keep it our traditional numbers, I think it looks very good for us.
Okay. You said we're... District 29 goes like down Hollywood toward the Brookstown area.
Right.
Is that where it jumps over airline at Glen Oaks?
It jumps over, right over airline. It still goes Glen Oaks, and it covers Lanier and Silver Leaf. It covers Minkins Road. I don't know if you know where Forest Heights is on Minkins. It covers that area as well.
Because that goes, tons of houses back there.
Right. Yeah. We got schools over there. We have some charter schools. We have some, I think some schools are under state, under recovery district, and then we got some that's part of the East Baton Rouge system over there as well. So that's what I'm saying. Here, the issues aren't necessarily the same as what they have in East Baton Rouge, but we've got a host of issues that we're going to have to deal with. But again, you know, my thing is about crime reduction, education, job creation, and healthcare, because Earl K. Long is basically in that area as well. But of course, it's supposed to be closed soon, so they're going to have some other issues they're going to have to deal with there as well.
Well, all the issues you mentioned all starts with the thing you said you like the most, education.
Education, that's it.
That pretty much takes care of everything.
It does. It does.
Anybody else? Benton, we appreciate you coming out.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You have to go rollerblading.
I'm going to take a golf cart.
Okay. Next is approval of minutes of the regular meeting of August 8th. Has a copy in your package. And is there any changes? Do you want to hear a motion?
Second.
Mr. Andre, second. Mr. Kershaw, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Public Works Committee, consider awarding street overlay contract as a spreadsheet in your package. And Roy recommends, and I concur with the low bidder, and I recommend R.J. Daigle & Sons in the amount of $176,768.90.
And they have worked for us before.
They have, and they've always done a very good job, very good contract. We had all four of them. I had no problem with any of them, but they have really done good. Somehow they were left off the bidders list last year, but they got on it this year, and it was a very close. So the bids must be accurate. They had very close, three out of four.
No, you didn't have one way out the box.
No, like no. I mean, which one year we had $700,000 or something. So that's my recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Yeah, I did want to ask. Roy was here last week, and did he say that he wanted the motion to include the ability for you to do some kind of document, to sign some kind of document to get it in the process.
I figured out what that is.
And I think you want to accept a bid, but there was some other
document. Accept a bid and authorize the mayor to sign any necessary documents to make the contract.
So that would be my motion.
All right. Move, Mr. Kershaw. Second, Mr. Hebert. Any further discussion? Public comment, my bad. Public comment. Any comment from the public? Okay, hearing none, roll call vote.
Councilmember Bourgeois.
Yes.
Councilmember Hebert.
Yes.
Councilmember Kershaw.
Yes.
Councilmember O'Leary.
Yes.
Councilmember Andres.
Yes.
Planning and zoning, just have a couple of things to mention. It could be part of the mayor's report, but I'll spare you. Mr. Carol Fondo has handed in his resignation from the Planning and Zoning Commission. I have not yet accepted it yet, and he promised me he would be there for the next meeting, right?
Right.
So we need to get some names and figure out who we can get. And also, as of this morning at about 10 o'clock, we have a plat for what is called Orleans West subdivision, which is developing the property past the end of Orleans Quarters.
That's going to be two-sided
subdivision. Something like, I want to say 98 lots.
92.
All right, whatever. Yeah, it's nice. It's very long. Goes past what is now in Allen Street. It goes maybe a half a dozen miles.
That's where the property market is.
Goes way down.
Right at the pipeline.
So I will be sending letters to every resident who lives on Allen Street, notifying them of the public hearing. Is the 28th planning and zoning meeting, 28th of September.
The bump speed limit on that one about 65.
Whatever. I don't have anything planning and zoning other than that. I don't have anything. Finance, I'm not aware of anything. Personnel, I'm not aware of anything. Recreation.
Football season, Panthers are 2-0, and JV's 2-0. JV plays at home tomorrow, and varsity goes to Riverside on Friday. big improvement with the kids. Last year, they only won 3 games. So we're off to a really good start. Beat Blackman in the first game, which was a pretty good upset for us. And then we beat Baker Friday night. So off to a very, very good start. Next week, they'll be at home for their first game, 4 games in a row at home with St. John's, starting at home today.
Okay, police committee, I'm not aware of anything. Governmental affairs.
Can we get you to give us an update on Jamie?
Jamie came by, I want to say Friday, was it Friday? Yeah, he came by, he looks great, he feels good. He has, he swears to be darned that he has quit smoking for sure. He is very aware that he is a very lucky guy to be alive. He has been told by his doctor, zero stress, so he's at home, he's watching DVDs and taking naps all day. He doesn't want to be called, he doesn't want to be talked to, nothing. He's taking the doctor's advice. He will be, he has an appointment with the his cardiologist on October 10th, so he will not be changing what he does until at least October 10th. But his, you know, his color is really good. Now he's got blood going through his heart and all like it's supposed to. He really looked really, really a lot better. And he didn't seem down in the dumps. I talked to him, you know, he seems, you know, resigned to having to change the way he lives. And so Ned and I are on the same page. We don't tell him nothing. Anything comes up, I talk to Ned. Ned signs something, that's just like him signing it. So we don't want to even call him or nothing. No, I mean, you know, he's, thank goodness for Ned. You know.
We got both of my parents to stop smoking. Heart attack from my dad this time last year. And my mom had one 2 weeks ago.
Smoking.
Now they're both smoke-free.
Well, if Jamie quit smoking, anybody can. Because I'm telling you, he was, you know. But anyway, he's doing good. You know, he realizes a 34-year-old man's not supposed to have a heart attack, so he's got to change the way he lives his life. It's kind of funny, he said his first therapy session, he showed up at a therapy place, and the lady says, what are you doing here? Did you drive somebody over here? He says, no, I had a heart attack. She says, how old are you? And Jamie looks like he's about 24 instead of 34. You know? She says, how old are you? He says, 34. She says, wow, okay, get on the treadmill, you know, let's go. But she thought, she asked me if somebody had driven it. He had driven somebody there. So anyway, but he really looks good. He does. He, you know, I mean, you know, it's a natural thing. Your heart works right. It makes your body work like that.
100%.
Oh yeah, he had the information I got was 100% on one side and 35 on the other side. He told me it was 100 on one side and 60 on the other side blockage.
Wow.
He's not supposed to be alive right now. His cardiologist told him you're not supposed to be alive.
They didn't do both sides.
Oh, I don't know. He didn't say anything about that. I thought he'd done everything.
They just did one stent, obviously.
Yeah. No, I didn't know that. He didn't tell me that.
Trying to, I think, treat down
the room. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember him saying that. You're right. Anyway, that, you know, I don't, if y'all want to go see him, but he, you know, don't just,
don't tell him Ned,
don't talk about no business. No, don't tell Ned, said. Well,
that's the first thing I would tell.
All right, Governmental Affairs Committee, I don't know of anything. Consider vetoed ordinances, there are none. Hearing and final action ordinances, there are none. Introduction of ordinances, I'm not aware of any. Resolutions and commendations, resolution number whatever for the LGAP grant. We need this resolution in order to apply for the grant. So, do I hear a motion? Move by Ms. Bourgeois, second, Mr. Andre. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Aye. I'm sorry about that. Okay, we've already done B. Department reports, fire department, chief.
For the month of August, first aid calls inside the town, we had 4. Outside the town, we had 12. Fire calls inside, we had 4. Had a false alarm, smoke detector activation, trash fire, and arcing power lines. Outside of town, we had 2. working power lines and grass farm. And one motor vehicle crash inside of town and one outside of town. Total for a month was 24. Total for a year was 211. Most of these arcing lines and what have you was from the storm that came through.
Okay, any questions, comments? I'm going to talk about this sales tax thing in my mayor's report. Police, thank you, Chief. Police Department, Ned?
Years of August 2011, we had 7 crashes. We executed 5 bench warrants. We had 1 damaged property, 1 theft, 6 alarms, 5 residents, and 1 business. Assisted other agents, 5, 3 West Baton Rouge and 2 Addis. Juvenile matters, we had 2. Traffic arrests, we had 2. Miscellaneous calls, we had 30. Total calls of 59, total citations of 134, and total violation was 168. We had 3 unlocks, 2 open doors, 9 disturbances, 2 complaints, oil spill on the highway, suspicious persons, power line down, unwanted persons, and 1 arrest. Our tickets are real low right now, but we're using, we got 1 guy in school. Most of our guys are getting 36, 40 hours overtime. Even me got some overtime. Our part-time people, we got to get them when we can. One of the cops in Iberville, and sometimes he tells us he'll take a day. His boss turned around and said, no, I need you for that. So we've been shuffling for a while. Brent will come out of school on October 6th, so we're going to have him back. And he's holding like a 95 average. So, doing good. Our tickets will pick up once we get back right.
Okay. Any questions, comments?
How's the four-wheeler roundup going?
Pretty good.
Still?
And I made a suggestion. I don't care. You, who you are, her, anybody. Catch your key in on the four-wheeler, we're going to tow it. And that's going to stop it. Because you know, like right. That kid got hurt real, could have died and cut his face wide open. Yeah. I told my officer that.
Wait.
That's
wait,
right. Tow it. Just recent accident.
Ooh, what are you talking
about? Yeah. It was 3 kids on the four-wheeler right there in they pretty close over where you live,
don't you? Yeah, was on the other side. Of there by Maine.
Little boy cut his head right wide open right there.
When? Yeah. I mean, like in the last few days? Or?
Chief told me about it just before his heart attack.
It was right before my mom's heart attack.
That's pretty much par for the course. I don't ever hear nothing. So.
My father's brother told me, he said, listen, Ned, what can we do? I said, I'm going to give you information right now. You told it. And don't worry about what the pants are. Just told
them. You can go down Allen Street right now and they'll bring a big trail with you.
Yeah. Well, we have a record
standing crazy right now.
Wayne can hold that.
A lot of times it's a parent.
Like, you know how many times I'm coming home late in the evening and it's just mm-hmm. getting dark and right. I go to turn and they're
coming out.
Fly right across.
Now, is that in the road too, Nan? Is that yeah. When you have 4 wheelers in the road as well?
Oh, yeah, they're out of down the road.
You're talking about in the road.
They got it like up in his subdivision, Brulee Oaks.
Oh, yeah, Brulee Oaks.
Oh, that's like a car.
That big drainage area of
retention pond,
that's, they got trails all through there. That's.
The only thing I do is make it hurt the pair of pocketbooks. Make them go get them, and why ain't going to charge them?
Right across from my house, there's an empty lot, and behind that empty lot is a retention pond. So that's where all of them go because they, you know, it's free access. They go right on.
And I talked to the daddy that the little boy had to cut. Oh, he's all right. He's a boy. He's tough. I said, if I catch you out there, I'm going to tow it next time.
Yeah, that's the ones that live in that big two-story house.
He was very
yeah.
arrogant with us.
Yeah, that's. Yeah.
So what you gonna do about Halloween when they pull the trailers on?
Well, we out on the road. We guide them through. So
that's not the real issue.
And that's a double.
That's not the issue.
That's not the issue.
I mean, but they're
that's
okay.
That's not a safety issue. So,
but okay. See, you had like a 14-year-old that was driving, I believe. Seven-year-old, five-year-old,
yeah. One of them was like 13 or 14, and the other ones were below 10.
And they said, this little boy, you'll never have a gash from here. You can see the skull on the
All right, any questions, comments?
Thank you, Ned.
Thank you, Ned. Correspondence, I don't have any. Mayor's report, something we talked about last week. We have 10, we had 10 inches here, 9 at the school, and 9 back at the pond during that time period when the storm, name of it, Lee came along. We had no wind damage that I'm aware of that was of any significance. The capital outlay, we had a meeting with Paul Rainwater, and money is on its way, and we have a schedule, and we're supposed to get started like in January, bid the thing out, and then keep on going. So we're going good with that. It's going to be mostly police station. COVID program, we've only had 5 applicants, of which 2 or 3 of them we're going to sign up anyway. So the letters that I sent to everybody fell on deaf ears, so we're not going to worry about it. There's no next time, not to budget as much for that. There's cameras installed in the lobby, in the work area, and out there at the maintenance barn, also showing part of the fire station. That went in the budget, and we've got probably 9 or 10 cameras. We thought we only had 2 for less money. The chief and I and Kenny and Landis attended the fire sales tax meeting. It was a committee put together to discuss the redistribution of fire sales tax. And that discussion in the meeting, what it really resulted in was that the fire chiefs have taken an action item to go and meet and come up with a recommendation on a new distribution of the sales tax money. And including that also a mechanism for changing the distribution in future years, because we're in a pickle right now because there's no workable change mechanism in there. So also a third item is when to begin the redistribution and by what method. So it's far from being resolved, but at least there's the next step on the horizon, and we'll see how that works out.
We've already had a meeting.
Oh, yeah.
We've had one meeting. There's a lot of discussion. We actually had a vote on some of it. The only one I really want to lean to help is the other town. All the rest of the chiefs are in
coalition
agreement.
Wait, which other? You mean that way?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Well,
Henry would not. He abstained from the law.
Yeah, well, he's scared.
But we have a plan.
So y'all Port Allen's?
We've got a plan.
Okay.
And we let everybody go home with that plan, think about it, come back maybe one more time, and we're going to put a letter out to you.
Okay, that'd be great for that. All right. As I said last week, and I'll say it especially since Rose is in here, we had a very big event happen in the last couple of weeks. Is the test well that the water district drilled this side of the intercoastal over on near Bubba's land came in good, so we can actually drill a real well now. That was a big deal, because had that well not been, had we not found good water, the next alternative we'd have gone way across the intercoastal, and it would have been to the tune of like $5 million to get a well and cross under the canal, and it was a very, very expensive proposition. So, Rosa, you will be able to waste water on your lawn, on your grass, forever and ever. I am attending the water district meeting this Thursday to urge them to increase the rate for those high-end users of water, and to lower the rate for the low-end users.
Only use excess water, by the way.
Excess water. That's just runoff, she's saying.
All right. Now, under the category of forgive thy neighbor, the gospel at church Sundays urged me to forgive the neighbor 7 times 7. But after that thunderstorm we had, not the hurricane, but the thunderstorm, we had a lot of trees and branches and all everywhere. So Monday morning when I got in, I wrote the council an email. I said, look, why don't we hire Allied to pick up the branches and stuff, because it's going to be a long time before they come out, and you know, of course, the council's always interested in doing the right thing, so they said, fine, go ahead and do it. Well, one of our fellow citizens decided that they were going to cut down a very large tree. They hired a contractor to do it, and not only that, they put the tree in the ditch. In the ditch. Not on the edge of it, in the ditch. It completely filled the ditch up. So Wayne approached them and said, you can't fill the ditch up with wood. They said, well, you know, we didn't know or whatever. But of course, the contractor could have carried it off, but that would have cost them more money. So they wanted to put it there in the ditch. So Wayne got Curtis to go out there, and they just pushed it with the backhoe, pushed it on the bank of the ditch. Well, along comes Ally, and they started out probably on Arlene Street and all some of the places that had more branches and brush than anywhere else. And by they got out here, I'm gonna say like Monday or Tuesday, and they had a breakdown anyway. Thursday afternoon, I get a call, and it's the reporter for WBRZ. Well, it just so happened that afternoon, it was the afternoon I had to go pick up my grandchild at daycare because my daughter and him were out of town. So they didn't get hold of me, and by the time she got hold of me, it was after 4 o'clock, and apparently some mysterious person on the street had called and said that they were very concerned about all the debris that's in front of houses flying and tearing their house up. And so they were on television, interviewed on television. They said, you know, we do our part, but we just want the town to do their part, something to that effect. So here I am, you know, and I'm trying to keep my composure and didn't do a very good job of it. Come to find out, call the contractor. I said, what in the heck are you doing putting that stuff out there when you know you're supposed to carry it off? Oh, well, they just told me to put it there because it would cost $200 more to carry it off. I said, oh, really? So some mysterious person called WBRZ to get the stuff out of their front yard that the town of Brule had pushed. We see Ally couldn't reach it from where it was. So it was still in their front yard. So they blamed it on the town for not picking up their stuff. Well, the contractor, when I talked to him, he went and picked it up the same day. He said, I'm going to go pick it up. I don't want to be in the middle of all this. So when I heard the gospel, it says, forgive your neighbors, you know, for their transgressions. So I forgive them for blaming the town so that they can make an extra $200 off the deal. You can tell I'm forgiven, right?
Are you going to go to WBRZ and?
Oh no, she called me back. She called me back to follow up, and I told her the whole story. She said, "Okay," but they don't put that on there.
That's $300 a load.
Oh, well,
I paid. I paid $900.
It may have been more than that. I thought it was $200.
No, it's $300.
Well, whatever.
I paid $900 extra at mine.
Yeah, and then a mysterious person called the next day. Same day I was called the contractor and asked her, listen, what is the town's policy about picking up trees that people cut down? And she said, well, I don't know, Mr. Wayne is not here. I'll get hold of him. I'll try to find him. I said, put that person on hold. So I went in my office and said, hello, this is Joey Norman, the mayor. Can I help you? Click. But I forgive my neighbor. 7 times 70, right?
But you need to backtrack to when we said, okay, get Allied Waste to come with the extra thing, because that was $6,000.
Yeah, $6,000.
Yeah,
and he did a good job. In fact, the guy with Allied Waste told me he came out and tried to get that stuff, but he couldn't reach it, so he went and got his best operator and had him come and try to do it. He still couldn't reach it. So anyway, all right. And last, on a more positive note, I would like to congratulate Mr. Fish Kershaw on his election to District 2 Parish Council member. And he will...
Parish Council elect.
No.
Elect.
He's not a member.
Not sworn in.
Which means that we will be losing a veteran council member, excellent council member, but we will have to have a vacancy, and I've already looked into it, and it is up to the council to select the next person, but we can't do that until the person...
In the chair
leaves, and he ain't leaving until after January, so we don't have to have a special election, right?
That's the plan.
All right. But thank you for your service. Well, we'll get to that later on, but congratulations on being elected. And I know it's a tough fight, but...
Resolution?
Huh? You get a town pin, too. You got a blue folder and a town pin.
We're going to get you, Fish.
All right, and with that, I'll turn to remarks of personal privilege. Anyone? Come on, somebody got to have something.
Nobody ran against them because they were scared.
That's right.
I don't know about that. But I do want to tell you that you looked like you were surprised about the person running for governor from Brulee.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
David Blanchard.
On Choctaw.
Grew up on Main Street.
Yeah, I know David Blanchard, yeah.
He lives back by the golf course now. He's running for governor.
Right, I know David. I believe that. Yeah. Any other remarks of personal privilege? Okay, if none, I'll announce this. We have a 2 mile cancer awareness walk October 1st at 7:30. That brochure is in there. Donna Britt's supposed to be there. Reverend Johnny Johnson, the coach at White Castle basketball team, stuff like that. I will be there. I know that trumps all of the others, right? So, but it's for a good cause. And she swears, I talked to the lady in Georgia, but she swears they're not going to hold the highway up. They cross over real quick and they're not going to be a problem. So we shouldn't have an issue with that. West Baton Rouge Museum Brulee High Photo Exhibit, October 8th at 11 a.m., followed by refreshments. What happened? Huh?
She did a good job and some pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was good.
It's got to be classy.
Quarterly fire meeting is October 10th at 6 p.m., and a landmark and heritage meeting will be October 17th at 6:30. With that, do I hear a motion to adjourn? Move of Mr. Lynn. Second, Mr. Avery. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. The ayes have it.
Aye.